Atheist Nomads episode 361. Special Not Sessions.
The podcast you're about to listen to includes cursing and talking about hoo-haws. Please be advised.
Welcome to another episode of Atheist Nomads. I am Dustin, and joining me is Lauren.
Hello.
And I'm going to go for as close as possible to live to tape with this, because it is late, and I am sorry about the episode being late. I spent 76 hours as Schrodinger's cat, pretty sure I didn't have COVID, but didn't have the test result.
Yeah, well, definitely thought you did, so...
There was
very stressful.
There was the out of the 76 hours between getting swabbed and getting the test result, there was probably about 36 hours of that. I was growing in certainty that I didn't have it.
Yeah.
And then finally got the result of not detected.
Yeah. And started to psychosomatically think that he had symptoms that maybe he didn't. Or we're attributing them to something that wasn't the case.
Yeah, it can
and
be
people
tough.
Do that. If
yeah.
You look up the symptoms for COVID-19, and it's pretty generic.
Well, and like you've
anybody
got...
Anybody who suffers from allergies or is having a summer cold
mm-hmm.
can feel like they're going to die. And that's scary.
And there's plenty of information out there on how you shouldn't think you have it for some of these other things, like a cold or allergies. And equal amount of information or equal amounts of information out there about people who were actually positive and misinterpreting it as a cold or allergies. And end of June, allergy season, like serious allergy season, is pretty much over. And
but June itself.
Yeah.
It's pretty hard. So, yeah, it was a pretty simple process, though. We did one of those drive-in. Nasal swabs. We were so lucky. Apparently they had been packed and we got there during a break. So we got seen within an hour while other people were waiting up to 3 hours in their cars. Can you imagine doing that with a 2.5-year-old in the back seat?
We got so lucky. She
was fine.
Entertained herself. She sang. She got a little checkup and she was thrilled.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Doc McStuffins really is prepping her for, a career as a CNA.
Or better.
We'll start with the CNA.
Yeah, yeah. That's always a good place to start with anything medical.
Yes.
But, you know, we're in, like, much of the country. Idaho is a place where COVID is coming back with a vengeance. Because when you reopen things...
Bars.
People think, oh, that means... It's done. We can get back to normal. That was not supposed to be the message.
Well, and that was the message until that last stage. And they reopened, what was it, bars? Gyms?
All those were earlier. Those were stage three.
Oh.
We got moved back to stage three minus bars because of how bad the uptick was.
Yeah.
Because when you're going with 2-week reevaluation, everything you're seeing is 2 weeks behind.
Yeah.
So if you make a change, it's going to take about a month for that change's effect to really start percolating through everything. And it could take up to 6 weeks to actually know what effect that had. But if you keep moving every 2 weeks... Yeah,
apparently,
that was quick.
Apparently, people swamped downtown and just drank themselves into a disease.
Well, and like, even with all the recommendations on masking and places that are mandating masking, which Idaho is not, it's masking when practical. Eating and drinking, you can't do wearing a mask.
No, and the bars did, you know, they put up plastic, they separated the bartenders, but... That doesn't stop people from crowding a bar to get booze. If you're being waited on, that's one thing. But if you have to go up to the bar to get something, yeah, you're going to be touching people. You're going to be running into people. Asymptomatic people will spread it.
Mm-hmm.
Good old Ada County.
And today I had a negative test result that I got.
Whoop, whoop.
217 people in Idaho did not.
Ouch.
We have broken the old records.
And every day is like breaking a new record.
And one of the things that, is interesting to look at is I know because of working in a lab and seeing errors and stuff flowing across interfaces, I know the labs get backed up, especially if it's for outpatient stuff and it's being sent to reference laboratories somewhere else. Those get backed up, and so you can get multiple days' results all at the same time. So the 14-day average really helps, and then the 7-day averages as well, really help balance that out.
It's skyrocketed.
Which, yeah, yeah.
It's not a good graph to look at.
No.
It makes me very uncomfortable.
If it turns around, we are in a second wave. If it doesn't slow down, which there is no indication that it will, then that first thing that happened back in the beginning of April wasn't even a wave.
That was the foothill?
That was
the mountain?
That was a bump. Yeah. Yeah. Flatten the curve was the goal, not just delay it. Every state has been trying to work through reopening plans. 2 weeks ago, Idaho went to phase 4.
I like to call it DEFCON 4.
Out of 4 phases. Interestingly, bars were supposed to be in phase 4, but they allowed dining rooms and restaurants to open up in phase 2, and they quickly figured out that most restaurants have bars, and they weren't able to figure out a meaningful way to distinguish between a restaurant and a bar, so they moved bars up to phase 3, which is why Ada County, which is Boise, Meridian, Cuna, Eagle, which has presently 2/3 of all new cases of COVID in the state of Idaho, has moved back to phase 3 with all bars in Ada County being closed, including the bars in restaurants.
It's that it's if people are going up to a central area to get something, that's going to expose anybody who goes into that area.
And if the goal is an organized setup where you have spacing that is controlled and run and managed by staff, is the only way you can try to do that safely. You need people to go where they're supposed to go and stay there.
Sit.
So now you can go to a place and get drinks. If you are sitting at a table and somebody who works there is bringing the drink to you.
Classy.
While wearing a mask.
Classy shit.
Yeah.
Difference between a restaurant and a bar. Is there food involved? Is food an option? Now, in some states, that's murky. Oregon.
Oregon and Washington
have to
both
serve food.
All bars have food.
So that's meaningless. But in Idaho, no. A bar is a place where it's usually a dance club or
Tom Graney's.
Just a gross gathering place where people just drink booze. There's no food involved.
Yeah.
A restaurant, they will have a bar, but they will have sit-down areas, and that's good.
And a lot of bars do have seating, but they're just going with, if it's a bar, it's closed.
Good.
And if it's in a restaurant, the bar is closed. The rest of Idaho was apparently, possibly today, going to be going to just business as usual. And Governor Little said that he's tapping the brakes.
Yeah.
Not slamming on the brakes, tapping the brakes.
Yeah, things were not going according to plan.
9 counties in Idaho still have no confirmed cases of COVID-19.
Whoop, whoop.
Some of those counties have literally hundreds of people in them.
Yes, the population is not huge, but it looks good on paper.
So those teeny tiny counties I'm sure even the smallest have at least 1,000 people, but not much more than that. Yeah, a lot of those, some of those don't have any cases at all. So being too draconian, it might be crazy. None of those counties are tourist destinations, because all the tourist spots all have it.
They're mostly mountain.
Or desert.
Or desert.
Wait, Idaho is mountain or desert.
Looking at, yeah. Are you north or south of the Snake River Plain? Idaho jokes, you wouldn't get it.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so this all, of course, was coincided with a group of the furthest right Republicans in Idaho, in the Idaho State Legislature.
Freedom Foundation? Peeps.
Who are at least aligned with the Freedom Foundation, yes. Which is...
Percenters.
Plus...
whatever they call themselves now, Tea Party. What used to be the Tea Party is turned into some kind of weird racist cult.
Okay, so there was three percenters led by Ammon Bundy to provide protection for the gathering.
Ammon Bundy was the guy who took over the Malheur County, the
Malheur National Wildlife
Refuge for 41 days and didn't die, mm-hmm. surprisingly. He still acts up every once in a while. Encourages people to bring their guns to quote-unquote protect.
Yeah.
No, they're not intimidating. They're just protecting the people there.
Now, earlier in the pandemic, Ammon Bundy has been getting groups together to, like, do armed protests outside of police officers' homes.
Yeah, we've talked about him a lot this year.
Arresting people.
He was calling for Easter services to not be canceled.
And held one. He's been doing some armed protests outside of the governor's house. They both live in Emmett, so it's not hard for him to drive down the street.
To go to somebody's personal address and harass them.
Yeah. Harassing that cop was not cool.
No.
And so they along with a group called Freedom Man, which is a political action committee somewhat associated with the Idaho Freedom Foundation.
Not officially, though.
But they're it's not registered with anybody.
They're not registered, so they're not a PAC.
No, they're not.
It's just a group of people who are pooling money to give to politicians without...
Yeah.
And they won't register. They said straight out, they're not going to do that, ever.
They think filing the paperwork to be able to do unlimited dark money would infringe on their freedom too much. So...
Like wearing a mask or being a decent person.
Yeah. So they wanted hundreds or thousands of people to show up for this. They were hoping to get as many members of the legislature there. The lieutenant governor, who is
batshit insane,
one of them, was ready to show up if any senators were there to gavel in a Senate session. This was all under they got two lawyers in Arizona to dig through.
They finally found a lawyer somewhere in the United States who will take their money and find some obscure law to make this make sense.
Cold War.
Cold War laws. Yep. Gotta love them.
So this is a Cold War law that said that in the event of a foreign attack, like a nuclear strike, the legislature could meet in a special session without the governor calling it and without needing a full quorum.
Assuming that, everybody's dead.
But the first part of that is a major foreign attack. So they then said that COVID-19 is a Chinese military attack upon the United States.
That was imaginative. Very creative. I think they earned their money for coming up with that kind of bullshit.
So then...
Lawyers, man. No offense to lawyers out there, but you know. You know.
So then they took that to be like, all right, we're going to form a session. We need as many people from the legislature to show up. So 15 members of the House of Representatives...
Nobody showed up.
15 out of 70.
Yeah.
Not a quorum. You need to have a majority of the members show up for a quorum. No session was called. They adjourned for the year 2 months ago. And the governor is the only one allowed to call a special session.
So there, this was just a debacle.
It's literally in the Idaho State Constitution.
They basically just took a conference room and tried to call it some big political move, but it wasn't.
So they met and gathered in as close as they could, nobody wearing any masks, with a crowd of more than 200 people, many of whom were armed, filling the public galleries on the fourth floor to watch and cheer, also tightly packed together. And the only people in the entire space wearing masks were the media.
Yeah. A little bit of natural selection, a little bit of a hope there that, you know, the disease will just wipe these people. No, I wouldn't say that's terrible.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's just, it's as, you know, as many times as people have done stupid shit, I'm surprised something worse hasn't happened.
Right.
How is it that, well, it has. All those Easter services that resulted in pastors and people getting really sick.
Oh, the church that's been gathering unfettered for a while now in Union County, like up in Enterprise in northeastern Oregon, they've had over 200 cases because basically everybody in the church got COVID.
Yeah. And some people are okay with that. They're like, well, we'll let it just go through the community. And those who live will live on. And those who die, well, okay.
Except most of the people who are going to die are old. And, okay, while that might help clean up the electorate a little bit, they're going to die soon anyway. If you're talking about people in their 80s that are the most likely to die. And for younger people, it's more likely that if it does anything, it's going to leave them crippled.
Yeah, we're learning more and more about post-COVID syndrome. What is there an official name for it? No, it's just symptoms that linger in people who've gotten COVID. So there's a lot of respiratory problems, organ issues.
Yeah.
Liver and kidney kind of stuff.
Permanent smelling, possibly permanent smelling loss.
Smelling loss. Can you imagine losing smell because you didn't want to wear a mask?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like that tick. In Texas, making you allergic to meat.
Yeah.
Just so little things like that, man. It's crazy.
So this gathering, they met to issue a proclamation calling for a special session. So the initial media attention this was getting was that, no, this was a special session.
This was going to be an illegal special session. And I think they actually leaked that out to get the media to show up.
Yeah.
And then they're like, well, of course, there's only 15 of us, so this isn't a session, but we should have one.
So they issued a proclamation where 15 members of the House of Representatives are calling on the governor to issue a proclamation or to call a special session so that they can stop him from being a dictator.
Yes, he's going to call a special session so that you guys can undermine him.
During an emergency.
Yeah. Oh, my God. How's everybody else's states doing? Ours is a mess. Ours is a tire fire right now.
Texas is worse.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Houston.
Texas is running out of ICU beds.
Have run out.
Houston's run out. There's still 3% of ICU beds in Texas are still available. Houston's just out. Arizona's in horrible, horrible shape. South Carolina, Georgia, basically the whole Sun Belt. You could also call it the Bible Belt.
Huh. Coincide.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
That's it's an age thing, probably, not so much a thing.
Actually,
from the Office of National Statistics for the United Kingdom, a survey of deaths by religious group in England and Wales found that people who reported having no religion were the least likely to die of COVID. By like 20%.
Maybe because they're not cramming into small buildings and are also more likely to listen to experts. Non-religious experts.
Christians were the next least likely to die. Muslims were the most likely to die, with Jews, Hindus, and Sikhs falling somewhere between Christians and Muslims.
Wow.
Jewish males had twice the risk of Christian males, for one example of it. But no religion. Like, we're talking a difference of 87 deaths per 100,000 males, or excuse me, 80.7 deaths per 100,000 males, and 47.9 deaths per 100,000 females for no religion. For Muslims, it's 198.9 deaths per 100,000 males, and 98.2 deaths per 100,000 females.
So can that be linked directly to the types of gatherings that are associated with religions, or is it more to do with communities?
They tried to account for as much as they could.
Okay.
Non-religious people are, yes, the least likely to routinely gather with large groups of people in Britain or elsewhere. The exception would be bars. Everybody gathers in bars, or excuse me, pubs in Britain. Except for some of these other groups.
Except for the religious ones.
But they accounted for socioeconomics, they accounted for age, and they found that none of those were significant distinctions. What would be a fair distinction is that Muslims are more likely to live in insular communities. They are more likely to be recent immigrants. They are most likely to be in poverty. And they are most likely to not trust the government.
Yeah, I get that.
So they're the most likely to die because of those reasons.
Yeah.
And most likely to go ahead and gather regardless of the public pronouncements. And as a result, yeah, they are 4 times more likely to die than people who are not religious.
That sucks. I mean, yay for not being for being non-religious, but that sucks.
Now, there are probably other factors at play because of, like, when you're talking about Muslims and Hindus and Sikhs in Britain, you're talking about specific ethnic groups. And everybody else being in different ethnic groups, like religion and ethnicity line up a lot more than they do in a lot of other countries.
Yeah.
And if you look at the U.S., Black people are the most likely to die of COVID-19. Hispanics are second most likely to die. Actually, Native Americans are second most likely to die. Hispanics fall in a little bit behind them.
Nobody ever pays attention to the Native Americans. It's so funny. They're talking about, how many Black people are killed by police versus Hispanics versus whites. And I'm like, well, what about the Native Americans? How many, what group of population has women disappearing for unexplained murders? Like, nobody ever mentions the Native Americans.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, they're a statistic too, guys.
But white people are the least likely to die in the U.S. And if you look at those numbers in Britain, one of the things that is saying is that white people are less likely to die than not white people. There's definitely some systemic racism that is a big factor.
Yeah, and it's not because our immune systems are better.
No.
Any kind of biological supremacy here.
No.
It's poverty and access to medicine. That's a big one.
And how much you trust the healthcare system.
That's true. If you don't trust the healthcare system, then of course you're not going to go into the hospital.
Yeah, like I went in to get tested because I had a couple of weird symptoms that came up at the same time. And when the urgent care called back to check up on my... When the urgent care called to check up on how my hand was doing from that nasty cut that I should have gotten stitches on, I mentioned two symptoms that I was having. They're like, you should go get tested. Two mild, seemingly not relevant symptoms. Like, you should get tested. As an employee, I then figured, okay, I'm not allowed in the building right now at work, which I can work from home. Maybe I should call the hotline. So I did. And they're like, yes, go get tested.
Oh my God. He waffled on that so long. And then as soon as he decides to go to get tested, all of a sudden, it's not that he imagined things going wrong. Things go wrong. I mean, you start to get headaches or joint pain, but he was getting like back pain, not because of a disease, but because he had been resting in a couch for too long. And a headache was probably due to, I mean, who knows what? It's just little things you start to like, oh my gosh, is this a symptom? Oh my gosh, is this a symptom? Oh my gosh, I'm looking at this checklist and it says I have 15 out of 20 symptoms. So it's like, just chill. That's not possible though.
Not during a global pandemic.
No. I know. I understand why you reacted the way you did. It's just funny that is human nature.
Yeah. And also, I used to watch a lot of those, now looking back on them, kind of stupid medical dramas and comedies that were on TV.
Scrubs,
House, Grey's Anatomy. And there's always the big thing on lump the symptoms together, don't split them. So if you have a bunch of things happening, put everything together, what does that paint? Even though it is perfectly plausible to have allergies causing some things and side effects to your antibiotics causing something else,
yeah,
and a 2-year-old causing fatigue.
I mean, this is what, okay, so we had a stomach bug go through, probably a cold.
Yeah.
And then, so COVID-19 scare there. We get a sliced hand. With probable infection.
Yep.
And then we had, what was before that?
You want to go back that far.
Hand-foot-mouth disease.
Hand-foot-mouth disease. There was, apparently sometimes testicles just get inflamed and suck.
They hurt.
Yeah.
Sometimes. And that happened. Dustin's actually, I think, cost us more money medically than...
You had surgery.
Oh, I forgot the surgery. Yeah, you're right. No, I definitely cost more, but you're actually pulling your weight this year. You finally hit deductible.
Yep. Which actually means that Kylie doesn't have one.
Hooray.
Because we've actually filled up the family deductible.
That sucks.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
In Utah at Brigham Young University. Someone vandalized the Brigham Young statue.
Oh.
Spray painting the word racist across the base of it.
Oh, okay. On point.
Yep. And Brigham Young University is saying that this caused $1,000 in damage.
Right, they're trying to make it a felony,
yep,
versus a misdemeanor. And if you can claim, it doesn't take much to do $1,000 worth of damage because it's so expensive to clean that stuff up.
Yeah. Now, why is it that they think that Brigham Young was a racist?
A doy.
Well, he once said, quote, "Inasmuch as we believe in the Bible, we must believe in slavery. This colored race has been subjected to severe curses, which they have brought upon themselves." End quote.
Yeah, no, total. The whole religion was based on huge amounts of racism. It still is. It's just insane. So, so that's, like I said, that's on point.
Oh, it really is. Planned Parenthood of Greater Washington and North Idaho is suing a church.
Oh.
They are suing the church because of how loud their protests are outside of the clinic in Spokane.
Oh, man. So are they like breaking the decibel rule for...
What they're doing is they show up and have loud religious services outside of the clinic, interfering with treatment and intimidating patients and staff.
Yeah.
So they are seeking a injunction to stop the church from holding gatherings of several hundred people.
Oh, wow.
Outside of the clinic.
Wow. Yeah. That's insane. Do they have a permit for that?
I highly doubt it.
No, the city just lets that slide.
This is Spokane we're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not easy being a Planned Parenthood in Spokane. God, those anti-abortion people are just such as jerks.
Oh, yeah.
They're just so loud and rude.
The Tennessean, a newspaper in Nashville, Tennessee, ran a full-page ad that the editor is now saying was horrific.
That
he's feeling really bad about that being run in his newspaper. But it was a full-page ad predicting that on July 18, 2020. Actually, I'll just read you the quote. "We are under conviction to not only tell you, but to provide evidence that July 18, 2020, Islam is going to detonate a nuclear device in Nashville, Tennessee."
Yes. Islam.
With a link to a Bible study.
Bible stuff. Oh my gosh.
Islam.
Never mind the grammatical error.
Islam is
just a thought or idea is going to drop a nuke.
Yeah.
But these people, something about July is making people go nuts.
So this particular group is a bunch of now former Adventists.
They got kicked.
They got kicked out of the church for being too crazy with their prophecies. And when you're in an apocalyptic death cult like the Adventist Church is, you have to be.
You really have to push it.
You have to really push it to actually get kicked out for it. It happens. Islam is going to detonate a nuclear device. What's crazy with that is they have a date. They have a specific event in a specific place, but not a specific organization.
You know what? That leaves any terrorist attack that happens in the month of July, like, they could get away with murder and blame it on quote-unquote Islam because they prophesized it.
But it would have to... They made the mistake of going too specific on the other parts.
Yeah, that's true.
So it would only be accurate if it was
ISIS?
A Muslim of some kind with a nuclear device, and it would have to be in Nashville on that date.
In the library with the candlestick.
Yeah.
But no, instead somebody else can set off a bomb and say, oh, it was Islam. It's like, no, you guys are just trying to fudge it so that your prophecy comes true. Can't do that, man.
And then
I'd be keeping an eye on them, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh man. It's crazy. As a general rule of thumb, anybody who's was kicked out of a group like this is gonna be way, way out there. Yeah. And Lori Valor is back in the news.
Yeah, unfortunately. This was the lady whose husband, no, brother died. Oh, God, what was
she?
It?
Okay, she divorced her husband, and then he died.
And then he died, mysteriously. Then she got married to this Chad guy.
Chad Daybell.
Whose wife had also mysteriously died.
Yep.
Their two kids, or Lori's two kids, hadn't been seen in a while.
Yep. Her brother died.
Then her brother died, and then they booked it to Hawaii.
After a judge ordered them to present the children.
Yeah, so they're like, present the children. They're like, nope, going to Hawaii. How that happened, I don't know. Talk about flight risk.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell? So, was it last week, 2 weeks ago? They were using...
Saturday, June 20, so...
Yeah.
In the last week.
They used cell phone information on the brother that had died. Found out where he was, why he was visiting a field in the middle of the night. The field happened to coincide with Chad, the man's
mm-hmm.
residence. So, yeah, definitely, definitely bad.
Well,
they found the kids.
He visited
buried
that
in the field.
He visited that property four times in September, and two of those visits were
middle of the night,
days after each of the children was last seen.
Yeah.
So, kind of looks like scoping out the site, and then maybe that's where the kids are.
Yeah. So they finally got enough evidence to go in. They found the kids. One was pretty badly mutilated. And of course the rest of the family's devastated.
Mm-hmm.
But this definitely, they're gonna have to exhume the ex-wife and ex-husband of the two and re-examine their deaths, because that's I'm pretty sure those are not of natural causes.
Mm-hmm.
So these guys are probably on death row for killing three adults and two children, all in the name of some crazy fringe Mormon apocalyptic death cult.
Yeah.
They thought in July, the world was going to end in July. And there was this particular belief within this group that people's souls can be lost, and a devil can then, or a demon can then be in that person's body. And it's the only way to get rid of this quote unquote zombie is to kill it. So apparently this lady thought her kids were zombies. Mentioned that to a friend who then reported that to the media. So she probably thought that they were zombies, probably because they were standing up for themselves. They were of that age.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it sucks. It really does. Everybody's been waiting for the kids to be found. They knew it was going to end badly. At least the grandparents get some closure.
One of the interesting things that they found in the records when they're looking at Cox's phone was a text message to his wife about his then wife, because nobody in this story stayed married to whoever they were married to.
No, yeah.
That he shot a raccoon and buried it in the pet cemetery.
Yeah, it's like, oh, what a crazy afternoon I've had. You'll never believe it. Cover story alibi, not very good. So she probably figured something out and
no, it was the investigator looking at it was like, wait a minute. He said he shot a raccoon that morning, and raccoons are nocturnal.
Yeah.
So what was he burying?
In the middle of the night?
Yeah, what was he burying in the middle of the night that he shot that morning, and it was the kids?
Yeah. Oh, and he also had debris he was burning out in the field, or in the backyard or something. And one of the bodies was burned. Oh, God, it was messed up. This is going to be a movie, or a Netflix special.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Ugh.
This will get its own probably 50 true crime, true crime podcast.
Oh, yeah.
If it doesn't already have that many.
Yeah. Gruesome stuff. And, the guy is he self-published a bunch of books about this religious ideology. This is the kind of stuff that makes religion dangerous,
mm-hmm.
is when people who are unstable go with it and, you know, just murder half dozen people. Jesus.
Well, they had to find God's 144,000.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah.
It wasn't their kids, apparently.
Nope, those were zombies.
Were they finding them in Hawaii?
They probably were going to try to find some in Hawaii.
I honestly am surprised that they stayed in Hawaii. I figure that she was going to run.
Chile would have been or Peru.
Argentina.
No, it's Ecuador.
Ecuador.
Ecuador doesn't extradite.
Yeah, there we go.
They also could have gone to Europe, which would not have extradited them because of the chance of getting capital charges in a state that does do executions.
Yeah. And what's weird, okay, so the woman, Lori, she got arrested because she didn't produce the children. The guy that she's married to didn't get arrested. He sat outside of his property in his car and watched the police.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as they found a human remain, he took off. It's like, where do you think you're running to? It's freaking, was it Rigby? Ryrie? Something like Riggins? I don't know. No, not Riggins.
No.
What are those R towns? I think it's Ryrie. But there's nowhere to run to. Of course, he got pulled over right away. Quote, unquote, traffic stop. God. Can you imagine what was going through his mind as he sat in his car and they're poking around in the place that you know those kids are buried? What? It's messed up.
Yeah.
It's going to make a great Netflix special.
Oh, yeah.
I just feel really, really bad for the grandparents because tried. They really did.
For our final story, a new report from Humanist International looked at the life of non-religious people in Colombia, India, Indonesia, Malaysia, Nigeria, Pakistan, the Philippines, and Sri Lanka.
Whoa, cool. Okay.
And they found they face discrimination and persecution in all of those countries.
Right. I was going to say, that's a list of countries that are very well known for religious persecution, especially if you're non-religious.
Uh-huh.
Those are the countries where if you're listening to us from those countries, please use a incognito browser, or what is that one called?
Or Tor. Yeah.
Because we don't want you getting killed by your government.
Like, there's Mubarak Bala from the Humanist Association of Nigeria, who is probably dead already.
Probably gone.
If not, he will be executed for blasphemy soon.
Yeah.
There's a case in Pakistan where a couple split up and the still Islamic husband was able to easily get custody of the children from his atheist ex-wife, who had to flee the country and seek asylum in Europe to avoid death.
Yeah.
Because just getting custody wasn't enough for him. They have found in most, if not all, of the countries they looked at that the discrimination and persecution is particularly bad for women.
Well, I mean, you could tack that sentence onto anything.
Yeah, you really can. But yeah, we're going to go ahead and leave the news there.
All right.
And I want to thank our newest patron. Thank you, Mark, for your support. We're going to leave it there. As a reminder, I am taking next week off. So there will be no episode next week. It's 4th of July. Do happy things or protest or escape, but stay safe, wash your hands, wear a goddamn face mask, and remember, not all those who wander are lost.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Atheist Nomads. You can find show notes and contact information at atheistnomads.com. Follow us on Twitter at Atheist Nomads and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/atheistnomads. Please subscribe to the show in iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcatcher of choice. And while you're there, feel free to leave us a review. Theme music is courtesy of Sturdy Fred. Until next time, this has been the Atheist Nomads.